Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, one thing I know about, you know, holiday weekends and Friday afternoons, Jane, is when I get off at 5 o'clock, I'll probably jinx myself, but most people have left the office by then and they're on their way to the Lake of the Ozarks right now. They're probably stuck in traffic going down there. It is going to be, it's legit hot out there right now.
It really is. I mean, it feels like a St. Louis summer day.
So we have a bunch of things to cover this hour, including, guess who's back in the news? Our good pal, Jussie Smollett, and they have unsealed the records in Chicago. Rafer Weigel, who used to be here at Fox, is up at Fox in Chicago, and he's going to join us here in just a little bit. We'll have number one songs this hour and audio cut of the day. I got a couple of topics, and you and I need to run down, without spoilers to a certain extent, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And we have not spoken about the finale, so we'll do that. Now, are you caught up on Veep yet?
No,
you still got to do that. All right. We'll get to that in here in just a few minutes as well. And of course, I have reviews in the next hour of Aladdin. You going to see that, you think? Or not?
I thought about it because I liked the cartoon.
I liked it.
You did.
We'll tell you about it 420.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to let this out of the bag because I already did it on Twitter. There has not been a movie in 2019 that I've genuinely been excited to spread the word about. There have been some good movies, but one that really excites me, and I always kind of gauge it this way. Can I go back today after seeing a movie a couple of days ago and see it again? Booksmart, which opens today.
I was just looking at that.
Fantastic. And it will.
I mean, it's like 98% Rotten Tomatoes.
Now, and I'm word of caution for people out there, it is raunchy. So just keep that. I don't want the emails. Mark Reardon told me to see this filthy movie. Mark Reardon loves profanity. You just need to know that. You may like me because of my politics and other things. You may not like me. That's usually the majority. But I'm not only not offended by profanity, but I'm a fan of it, all right? Thus leading
Sing
to
the choir.
I told you about the exact quote from my daughter. This is not something, I just want people to know this is not something I'm proud of, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That my wife told me that Alexis said, she's 4 years old, Mommy, Daddy needs to stop saying, there's a word that starts with F. Where's our bleep, Dave?
Here. Get the bleep out.
Mommy, Daddy stops needs to stop saying, anyway.
I'm proud that she knows that, you know, that's wrong and that you shouldn't do it. So Becky's doing things well.
I'm just going to go one step further here. So she was saying, she dropped a couple of F-bombs recently, all right? But the word... And she must get that from her mom. What she said was, she started saying, blankin' grease. I'm like, blankin' grease? What are you talking about? Daddy, don't say blankin' grease. I'm like, what? Well, what I was saying is, this is terrible. I shouldn't even go there. But sometimes I say the words, I take the Lord's name in vain. And I say, Jesus, blanking.
Right.
And she thinks it's grease, something else.
Right.
Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yes.
Look, I'm... way down in hell. I mean, there's not even
I mean, I'm
there's
waiting
no
for the
margin.
Lightning right now. Is the lightning coming?
There's no margin for even getting above the ground.
Because it could hit you or me. I'm not judging.
Right,
my
right,
mouth
right.
is not any better.
Anyway, Booksmart, though. Outstanding.
Okay,
so I started with that. It's really good. Beanie Feldstein, who is one of the stars, was in Lady Bird. And you saw Lady Bird.
I loved Lady Bird.
She was a scene stealer in that. And anyway, I'll talk more about it at 420.
And Olivia Wilde directed?
Which is amazing.
13.
Olivia Wilde directed this and did a great job with it.
Love her from House when she was 13. You know, remember they all had numbers?
She was 13. I did not. Well, I'll tell you what, I like her a lot better as a director than I do as an actress. I don't really have great disdain for her, but she really executed a great movie. All right, we got to do this too here.
Now, the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX, sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
John, how are you?
Doing fine. Ready to meet the Atlanta Braves tonight.
Yeah, they were pretty tough on the Cardinals last weekend in Atlanta, weren't they?
Yeah, but the Cardinals could have won 2 out of 3 down there, and Mike Foltynewicz is the one who gave up the big game, and then the Cardinals had trouble getting a key hit for the next two. And we've seen that after the Cardinals have scored runs in bunches like they did game two of the doubleheader against the Royals. But let's hope they can take that as a pattern and come out smoking against Mike Foltynewicz, who isn't quite back to the pitcher he was a year ago when he was an all-star.
Mike Schilt this week is putting a lot of the blame on himself. I think that's what a skipper is going to do. I don't know that that's where the blame goes for the rocky month of May. But maybe one bright spot I see today is that Alex Reyes may be closer to getting into this rotation.
That's what I'm hearing, that he may be closer to coming back. And I would believe that would be the idea when, if and when he's ready to come back and take part in the rotation. So we'll see. But certainly something has to happen with the starting pitching. The starting pitching was okay when the Cardinals were at a 20-10 record. But after that, it just didn't produce enough games going into the sixth or the seventh inning. And I think it caught up with the bullpen, and then the Cardinals weren't getting key hits. And I think that's why they're sitting there right around the 500 mark, just above that. As I said the last time we spoke, Mark, I don't think the Cardinals are in great shape, but they're not in bad shape. It's just a matter of trying to put those parts of the game together, and they have the people to do it. I don't think there's any question there.
You know, it's interesting because you could be a lot further out in this division right now, and you get a little hot, the Cardinals will, and you're right back into the mix. So it's not like it's panic time, but you'd love to see fewer runs given up, the starters going a little deeper into the ballgame, and certainly get Matt Carpenter, you know, swinging the bat. Now, on that front, how long can you go with Matt Carpenter in that leadoff spot if he's not producing?
Well, that's a question for Mike Schilt and certainly for John Mozeliak and the Cardinals, and they have seen Matt Carpenter thrive. I think that's the tempting thing to keep him there, Mark, because he has done so well after he broke out of his slump last year. He practically carried the ball club up until the end of August, and there wasn't anybody in the game hotter than Carpenter at that point. And then Yelich got hot and won the most valuable player, beating out Javier Baez. But Carpenter was the man there for about 3 or 4 months, right after he got off to the bad start in the month of April into early May. So I think they're going to take a good hard look at it. And if he continues to falter at the top of the order, they'll have to do something about it. But he's had some swings recently where he has the bat out in front of the plate, getting to the ball, driving it, and fewer pop-ups to left field and weak ground balls. And when he's driving the ball, that's his game. He's an extra base hit man with doubles and home runs.
Have you read the piece? This was just in yesterday. I know you were busy, and if you haven't yet, I would recommend it. Washington Post had a piece yesterday called Velocity is Strangling Baseball and Its Grip Keeps Tightening. And a lot of the numbers in that piece, John, you'd be very familiar with because you've seen what's happened this season. But it was an interesting read, and there are challenges here. And look, they had a picture of Jordan Hicks in this particular story, clocked it, you know, throwing 105 miles per hour. So there are some challenges here, and it's interesting that that higher velocity with the pitchers is there's more strikeouts. There's all kinds of things happening this season that are a little out of the ordinary.
Well, and also, I think you can pitch without throwing 105 miles an hour. We see that with Alex Claudio of the Milwaukee Brewers, who can barely break 80, but he's getting some people out. And we've seen it from other pitchers in the American League. There aren't many of them in bullpens, but there are a few who can toss it up there and take a little bit off, add a little bit to it, hit their spots. And they're getting some outs, and those are bridge people to get late in the ball game. But I take a look at the guys who know how to add and subtract and hit their spots. Those are the guys that usually thrive a lot longer in the game. And nothing wrong with throwing 105 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, smoke those pitches if you have them. And right now, Mr. Hicks has those. He just got the pitch count up the other day, and he got just a little bit worn down where maybe the pitch is flattened out a little on him, but. Now, his upside is so terrific, and I'll take that 105, but I'll also take the guy who can take a little bit off here and there, kind of the way that Webb did in his outing down in Texas, where he was throwing some off-speed pitches to left-handed batters, and had one of the best outings we've seen him have since he joined the Cardinals last year.
All right, John, have a great weekend. I might pop up and see you tomorrow night. My friend Jim Powell, who, as I mentioned last week, is on the Atlanta Braves crew, but he was out.
So he's going to show up this time. He wasn't there when we were down in Atlanta.
I know, and, you know, I was given a little grief about that, but he guaranteed me. We've been communicating. I haven't seen him in a long time. He was Bob Uecker's partner in Milwaukee, so we go back to my days up in Wisconsin. But I may sneak in and see you guys and harass Claiborne in particular tomorrow
night. Well, please do. You're always welcome.
All right, John, thank you.
You got it.
That's John Rooney with us on a Friday afternoon. The Braves in town this weekend, 3:16 on a Friday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Jane is hanging out. We'll be back with more coming up next.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
Jane, we'll do number one songs on this Friday coming up here. I will be here on Memorial Day Monday. We don't have baseball. It's very unusual. I think it's because of the collective bargaining agreement. They get some holidays off, so the Cardinals not playing on Monday. They have the series against the Braves, so I will be here Monday afternoon. And you will. You may want to tune in because you're going to appear on a couple of those segments because we're doing some best of, if you will.
Oh, good.
Jay Farrell. Remember when Jay was here? Used to be on SNL.
Yes.
We're going to feature that interview because that was fun. I think a couple others that,
We've had some good Dave,
did I really put segments with Jane on what would be considered best of?
I know, it violates them.
Questioning my judgment there.
That's
but,
right. Well, I'll be here Sunday.
So they were best of in spite of you.
In spite of me. In spite of
kidding.
Me.
Let's welcome Rafer Weigel into the show this afternoon. He's become my Chicago correspondent. And you're getting all those checks, right? You're getting all the checks that we're sending you?
I don't think I'm going to make the best of, but I appreciate you always having me on, Mark. Thanks.
You still have the opportunity, okay? You
That's
still
right.
have it.
Oh, well, so Jussie is back in the news. I thought we'd get the update from you.
Yeah,
these
what's going on?
Court records have been unsealed. Have you seen them yet?
Well, I saw the court records. So the court records were unsealed, and, you know, that was kind of a whole big nothing because, you know, court records are public record anyway. So we were allowed to see those, and the only thing we saw in that was that Jussie Smollett was told to stay away from the Osandero brothers as a condition of his bail, so not a big bombshell. So what our understanding is going forward now, so this morning on Good Day Chicago, when I was on, I had a legal expert on, and she says at this point it is on Kim Fox's office, the state's attorney, who dropped the charges unexpectedly on Smollett, to release all of the records. We in the media sued, essentially, or filed a suit, for access to all of the evidence that the police had, I mean, the surveillance video, all of that kind of stuff.
The whole investigative
file. Yeah. The whole investigative file. And we were only given the court records at this point. Kim Fox's office said we will get, quote, most of the files by June 3rd. We're not holding our breath, but what we think will end up happening is that we will end up having to file a follow-up to get more evidence. But the big thing right now is the city's civil lawsuit against Smollett and the Osandero's brothers' lawsuit against Smollett's attorneys for defamation. Those two suits will subpoena these records. Now they're open. It might take a subpoena to get them, but all that evidence will come out. And we will see that surveillance video of Jussie Smollett that I was told where he's walking with the noose with a Subway sandwich in his hand after the alleged attack going into his condo building. And it's not going to look good for him. So it's going to be kind of like a drip, drip, drip now over here probably the next year or two.
But I am amazed. You know, maybe I should say nothing surprises me. I'm still amazed that Empire is sticking with him because he's going to be on next season.
No, then you heard something that I didn't hear. I thought he was not going to.
Oh, well, let me check that then. I could be wrong about that.
It's
Rafer.
Back and forth.
Yeah, I thought I had heard that they wanted him back and he was coming back.
The last I heard was that he was not going to be a part of next season. And then I also heard that they were canceling the show, and I work for Fox, so I'm ashamed that I know. I think they don't know what to do. At this point, I think they're looking and seeing
what decision they make, they're going to get backlash. And that's
right.
The difficulty. I mean, so they're,
right.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a terrible decision for them.
Well, what I can tell you is, based on the police insiders that I've spoken to, is if that surveillance video is made public that they have as evidence, I mean, they told me that the evidence that was read in the Cook County Courthouse that day by the assistant state's attorney was just the tip of the iceberg. And if, in fact, this does get made public, it will be very embarrassing for Jussie Smollett. He's got a lot of supporters right now, but, you know, it's a different thing when you're actually looking at video, and they seem very confident if that video gets out, he won't have very many supporters other than his family at that point.
Well, it's going to seem to me that it's also going to tarnish the prosecutor.
And that's the big thing. Yes, you're 100% right. And that's so right now she has to be regretting the decision because, yes, if all that evidence comes out, you're absolutely right, Jane, then it's going to look even more mischievous as to why would she suddenly drop the charges when you essentially had an open and shut case. You know, her political career is probably done, and that could put an end to her legal career.
I mean, because look, the guy, He was using the fact that he was a star, and he was using his privilege, and he lied. And interestingly enough, after they actually, you know, dropped
Jane,
the charges,
Jane,
he was lying.
He's done a lot of work in the LGBTQ community. So it doesn't matter what his behavior was. It does not matter. That's what we've learned.
Well, evidently the prosecutor's going to have to answer for that, because I think you're right. Yeah. I think once the visual is out there, it's not going to be good for everybody involved.
Here's the latest, Rafer, by the way, on, yeah, you were right, but I was a little right, only because Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard and others, they want him back. They've said that he will not be on the show next season, but they're not, I guess, ruling him out in the future. I don't know. I think this is going to be more problematic, to your point, in the future.
Yeah.
I know, and I think from what I understand, next season is the last season of Empire. So our last reporting was he's not coming on next season, and the next season is the last season. So our understanding is he's done with Empire altogether.
Subway commercials? Subway commercials?
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Think,
I mean, the poor guy won't be able to get arrested.
Yeah.
No, his career will be pretty much over because of this, you know. And it's interesting because, you know, the judge made the argument. So, originally, when your charges are dismissed, you know, you can have your court record sealed because, you know, let's say you want to go get a job and, you know, you don't want somebody to go back and look like, oh, yeah, you were charged for something, but you don't want it to hinder their future. It's not like Jussie Smollett's going to go apply for a job. And they're going to go, wait a minute, did you get involved? Were you involved in a crime? Let's go back and look. It's like everybody's going to know that you were involved in a crime. And the judge said, look, they cried right to privacy. And the judge specifically said, you lost that right to privacy when you went on Good Morning America.
Yep.
And you talked openly about the case. When your attorneys went on CNN and MSNBC and all these other cable networks, you lost the right to privacy because you talked about it. You can't do that and then turn around and say, no, the media cannot look at the evidence against you.
Yeah.
Rafer Weigel, Fox 32 in Chicago, used to be here at Fox 2. Always great to have you on the air, Rafer. And again, I asked that question. You are getting the checks that we're sending you, right?
No, but you know what? Yeah, I think when I come down and visit my girlfriend, Margie Ellisor from Fox 2, maybe you and I should go grab lunch, and I might let you pick up the tab.
You know, we should do that because I don't believe we've never met in person. And Jane, just as a little background, before I grew up here and when I was living in Chicago as a kid, Rafer's dad, Tim Weigel, was a huge, huge sports guy at ABC Chicago. And and everybody knew him because he did a segment called Weigel's Wieners, which were some of the bloopers of the week. But Margie and I go back to our days in mid-Missouri when she was at KRCG and I was co-hosting. I was like the token radio guy on some Easter Seals telethons, and Margie and Rod Smith, her anchor in Columbia, well, Jeff City, you know, and I'm sure she's got some thoughts about what's happening with the tornado there. But yeah, Margie and I go back like 30 years.
That's what she said. Yeah, you're aging both of you when you say that. But yes, she's a big fan of yours, Mark, so am I.
Well, and I appreciate it. And you know what? On a serious note, we should do that. So when you're in town, let's grab some lunch and catch up. I appreciate that.
And if you want to have fun, I'll come along.
Yeah, Jane can come too. She
come
is
along,
kind of fun.
Jane.
I don't like to admit that, but she's kind of fun.
Next
Rafer,
weekend.
Have a great
Sorry.
Weekend, okay? Keep in touch. Rafer Weigel, we got to get to the news here this afternoon. Michael is in for Carol.
Get ready for the Cards and Braves tonight. Edmonton Total Access 620. First pitch with Mike Shannon and John Rooney 7:15. Following the game, it's live with Mike Shannon and Mike Claiborne. Hear it all right here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
They do a great job. You ever hear Mike and Mike do that Shannon show? Really, they get great guests. And
yeah.
It's fun to listen to. You can always find it online, too. I'm pretty sure at KMOX.com. So this is kind of fun. You know, you think about how people across time would have responded to some of the things that are happening modern day. And what I can do for you this afternoon is I have a conversation between, you might be amazed by this, between John Lennon and Paul McCartney talking about Bob Mueller and his report. Did you know about this, Jane?
Wow, that would be
John Lennon is no longer with us, right? But
he's channeled.
Let's imagine that he had this conversation. So I'm ripping this from my close personal friend, Howie Stern. I call him Howie. Dana Carvey was on his show and made a little bit of news because Dana Carvey, and I played this audio yesterday, admitted that there was, I think even a few weeks before the movie started shooting, he almost pulled out of Wayne's World because there was a dispute. He just didn't think his character was where it needed to be and it wasn't worth his time. And then they took him seriously and, you know, the rest is movie history. But he just master impressionist, right? Has been for years. Church Lady and George Walker
W.
Bush.
H.W.
You know, and he has been doing impersonations for his whole life. So he kind of did this bit where he was talking about Mueller and John and Paul talking about the report.
So what's going on down there, Paul? Oh, you know, there was a big whoop to do with the Orange Man, the big Orange Man.
Who's the Orange Man?
You know, Chumpy, the president I told you about. He's a big Orange Man. He's got little white circles around his eyes. He's got, like, cotton candy hair that swirls about. You know, they said maybe he's in cahoots with the Russians.
In cahoots?
Yeah, you know, like doing a thing, a whoop-de-doo. So they hired this man named Mueller. You know, he's a very, you know, he's a different-looking gentleman. He's really narrow in the top of his head, you know, and his cheeks go out like a big chipmunk, you know. And they gave him, like, 25 million quid, you know, to investigate. You know, he went through a million pieces of paper and all these interviews, and he said, you know, I guess he's not in cahoots. I couldn't believe it.
Sounds very strange. And then there was Hillary's emails, you know, they didn't know what to do. What's an email?
So then you talk about Brett Kavanaugh.
So what are they trying to do?
We're trying to get a top judge man, John. You know, judge man. So they got this guy Kavanaugh. Seems like a nice enough bloke. You know, maybe a bit of a sud's neck, you know.
What do you mean?
We like a beer or two, you know. And so they said, all right, you could be the top judge man. And then a bird from California says, hold on. So he, you know, he went doobly 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 on me, you know.
Hilarious.
I'm just going to leave it at that. And then one more topic, the college cheating scandal. Paul and John talking about that.
What happened down there?
Well, all these parents went a little nutty, you know. And they said, I got to get me a kid in a top, tippity top of school, you know. And they gave all this money. And they said, well, it's not enough. They said, what if we say they're rowers?
What do you mean, rowers?
Well, they like rowers in college.
What does rowing have to do with college?
I don't know, but if you're a rower, they'll let you in the college. So these two girls, you know, they put them on little playful rowers you have in a room, little, like, you know, exercise rowers, and they took pictures. And the father gave $500,000. They said, could they go to college? But they didn't even want to go.
Why would they put him in there if they didn't want to go?
Because they already had a job. They were on Instagram.
What's Instagram? Is that something Keith Moon used to snort?
I love John's responses there. And Dana Carvey is outstanding.
He is brilliant.
And since we're keeping it on the funny people here, you know, we talked about this on the roundtable, Jane, with the Pelosi-Trump feud. And Nancy thinks that Trump wants them to impeach him. And I think Republicans think maybe that's the case, too, for the distraction. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
Just out of curiosity, you were there. What was my tone yesterday at the meeting?
Very calm. I've seen both, and this was definitely not...
Been very consistent. I'm an extremely stable genius. Okay.
He's an extremely stable genius. Why can't people understand that? He's not a maniac. Ask his 10 terrified underlings.
And then Trevor Noah.
I feel like Nancy Pelosi's been spending a bunch of time with Maxine Waters, because now every time she patronizes Trump, have you noticed, she seems more and more like a black auntie? Have you felt that vibe? Yeah, because first she gave Trump the sideways clap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now she's praying for him. That's the blackest thing ever. Just like, Lord, this crazy man needs Jesus.
And then Seth Meyers.
Pelosi today called President Trump's behavior villainous and said that he is, quote, crying out for impeachment. And then she said the Democrats are not on the road to impeachment. Then she said the president's family should hold an intervention for him. Well, which is it, Nancy? This is usually the part where the waiter says, do you need a few more minutes?
You know, when Nancy Pelosi says that Donald Trump wants to be impeached because it's going to be good for his reelection hopes, I wonder if the late night comedians will ever realize, well, I think they know this, that if Trump goes away, half their show prep could, mine too.
Oh,
I'm terrified of
right.
this because
no, it would change the late night
TV. We get
TV.
To 2021, January 2021, and I got to work harder. I'm not going to be very happy.
You don't know what he'll be replaced with.
Well, that's a good point. Well, if Lia Wath is up there, that's going to give me all kinds of material.
Well,
let's do this,
Jane. She made money. So
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday. Flashback. Number one songs of the 60s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin on KMOX.
Well, for those of you who aren't here every Friday, we do this number one songs this day in history just to sort of take us back a little bit, see if we remember these songs. Of course we remember this because they just had a conversation about Bob Mueller. Hard to narrow down favorite Beatles songs, but this one would be up there for sure. Well, we got some new ones in here, don't we, Dave?
Okay.
79, here we go. Donna Summer, just before the summer of 1979. That was my last summer up in Illinois before I moved here. It was November 1979 that I moved here to St. Louis. 89. Bon Jovi, I'll Be There For You. Huge hit from 30 years ago. And as we pointed out, this one, number one for a while there. And then number one in 2009. And this one's going to stick there for a while. So Dave put number two in. Black Eyed Peas, Boom Boom Pow. Jamie Foxx, Blame It. That was number two. That's why I bring it up. And this is still number one right now. And I still don't know the entire story of the compilation here, but it's, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X. And come to find out that Lil Nas X, and I still don't know if I'm pronouncing that anywhere close to being accurate, he gave Billy Ray a pretty nice present for that song, for collaborating. And apparently, let's see if I have the audios in my other folder here, and I wasn't doing very good. It was a Maserati.
Oh, I got you something.
Wait a minute. There's no way.
It's yours. Hotel Road, number one, 7 weeks.
Hey, 7 weeks, man. Yeah. Wow, dude.
I'd say that was a pretty nice gift, right?
And at least he got his hair cut, Billy Ray.
Did he?
I haven't seen him in a while. He doesn't have that horrible mullet.
Oh, well, that was what put him on the planet, though, I think, right?
I know, which is creepy, but the mullet's gone, so I'm okay.
I need
now.
Some friends here to give me a Maserati. We need better friends, Jane.
I need better
friends. We need to collaborate on something. I'm guessing that is going to make him a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Maserati is not going to be, it's going to be a drop in the bucket.
Exactly. All right, so I just want to close on this before we get to the last segment here, because you and I did not talk about Game of Thrones. We are going to try to do this without a lot of spoilers or anything, but, you know, it was the series finale. So for those of you who have not watched or not caught up, you might want to tune out for 60 seconds to a minute and a half. I liked last weekend. I don't think you're ever going to be satisfied. There were things that happened along the way that I'm still confused about, but we had talked about this, Jane. I was going to go back and try to catch up and watch all the episodes again before this final season. Didn't get to do that, but I still might go back and watch the series again. I've watched Mad Men twice. I've watched The Wire twice. Yeah. I tend to watch the shows that I love the most, Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe eventually I'll give this one another spin.
It was the good news is I think that the ending allowed me to move on. You know what I mean? Sopranos still bugs me. In the sense that, you know, you're left with that.
But it doesn't take anything away from the previous seasons or anything like that.
I agree. And I think people are being mega hard on the series because there was no way, you know, it was going to live up to the hype no matter what. And I do think they move things too fast. I think they had to tie it up in a bow.
You know, and if they would have, we talked about this last week. I would have loved to have seen a little bit slower pace for the last season, maybe split it into two half seasons. I know they sort of did that, but
it felt like they were rushed.
Yeah,
that was the only negative. And I think people could have gotten along and could have come along to where they went.
But for the final scene, and I'm just going to say the final scene, I thought was pretty cool.
Because
if you think about where the King of the North needed to be.
Right.
Where he belonged.
Right. And he was okay with it.
I think absolutely.
And that was, you know, if the King of the North had gone by the wayside, there would have been some angry people, me included. But no, I think it was fine. I actually think the part of the episode where they were choosing was fascinating.
Oh, right, yeah.
I thought it was funny. I think the one...
It was Sir Davos. I'm not sure I have a vote, but...
Right. I mean, they actually, inserted comedy after all of that, sort of in and around the table. They tried to do that a little bit. I thought the chosen one would not have been who I would have chosen.
Right, but look, you're not going to have a perfect ending. Here's why I
think... Worth every minute of it.
Going back is interesting, because I think if you go back, you're going to pick up on things that telegraphed what happened in these last six episodes, maybe a little bit better than you have an understanding for right now. Because there were signals that showed that some of these things would happen.
On the big thing that happened, there was a lot of things that led you to that.
Right.
I didn't have trouble with that.
We have traffic and then an audio cut of the day coming up next.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
It is sponsored this afternoon by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, is weighing in, not on Donald Trump, but the Democratic candidates for president for next year. He's got some opinions.
Righteous citizens,
By now, you are aware of my glorious slams on Joe Biden. He has been completely dismantled, like our nuclear program. Wink, wink. For additional burns, check out my new album, DM Zingers, recorded live at Pyong Yuk Yuk's. You'll hear my best slams on Democratic nominees, like Bernie Sanders is so filled with age. He is over 40, which is ancient for a North Korean. The undignified one, Elizabeth Warren, possesses nickname Pocahontas, but she should be named Runs with Low Poll Numbers. Knock, knock. Hickenlooper. Exactly. The imbecile Cory Booker's bald head looks in appearance to the top of our missiles. The difference? Only one is headed toward the White House.
Kim Jong-un weighing in early with his biggest burns. That is courtesy of Stephen Colbert and The Late Show. Have a great weekend. Total Information PM is coming up next. I'll be here on Monday right after Rush at 2 o'clock.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.